Good morning. Let me just set up my stuff here. Let's start off with a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God, for the love that you give us. Father, we are so blessed to be here. Father, help us to rejoice in your salvation. Help us to rejoice in your presence. Help us to thank you that we have each other. Father, thank you for those that are visiting. I pray, God, that they can draw close to you, Father, and not just for Sunday, not just during services, but, Lord, that they will have an independent relationship with you, a relationship that leads them to heaven, a relationship that gives them eternal salvation. I pray for us as the disciples of you, Jesus, that we will follow your lead, no matter the cost. Father, be with Richard and Sarah as they travel to celebrate their 20th anniversary. Father, allow them to enjoy their honeymoon all over again, Father, and I pray, God, you keep them safe, and please return them back to us safely. Father, again, be with us for the rest of the service. Be with me as I bring the word, Father. I pray, God, that all those that are here are encouraged, are challenged, and decide to live differently because of your word. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. It's in Jesus' name he prays. Amen. Amen. I hope you guys are excited to be here this morning. Yeah. I know we kind of stopped. The last song was kind of more of a somber note, but we need to pick it up a little bit. Amen. We're going to start that off by Jade, if you could please stand. Amen. I'm sure a lot of you know why you're clapping, but if you don't, Jade will be baptized today. Amen. Congratulations. This is going to be happening at 12:30 at the Lilburn Christian Church. It's also off of Highway 29 and Arcato Road. If you don't know how to get there, just follow somebody and they'll lead you. Many of us do know how to get there. The title of this sermon is Why I Am a Disciple. You know, before we can come to this declarative statement, there's a series of events and some questions that we need to ask ourselves, right? We need to ask ourselves, I think the most obvious question is, why am I a disciple? I don't know about y'all, but I ask this question and I need to often. You know, there's some times when you're just flat out tired. There's some times when you're just like, okay, why do I do this? Just because I get paid by the church and I'm a full-time minister doesn't mean that I don't get tired sometimes. And I'm not just talking about tired that you can take a nap and you're refreshed. I'm talking about being tired in your inmost being. I'm talking about sitting people with sin and feeling the effects of that in your own heart. You know, we need to keep the dues in our prayers. You know, Chandra has lost, you know, to me, a second son, a son to her. A 23-year-old man passed away. You know, this Friday I had the privilege to do that funeral. Just to let y'all know, that was the first funeral I've ever done that was not my parents. It was challenging. But where there's challenge is opportunity to grow. So I embraced it, finally. I found out about it Wednesday, and I was doing it Friday. That's how your God and my God likes to work, right? He takes us out of our comfort zone and says, swim, boy! Because if you don't, you're going to fall on your face. I don't know about you. I don't like falling on my face. I got to work with what I got. You know what I'm saying? Don't laugh too hard, Mr. Allen. I want to share with you simply a study I did for myself. A study that I did of why do I serve God? And when we think about serving God, it's just really, who are we? As disciples, we need to find out what God wants and actually what a disciple is. You know, God's not just concerned with our actions. More importantly, he's concerned about our hearts while we do the actions. Look over in Hebrews 4. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, y'all. If you don't get a Bible, please look out with somebody. If you're taking notes, take them quick because we're going to go. We're going to go today, boy. I call him Mr. Richard, but Mr. Richard emailed me this morning and he said, preach the word. I said, absolutely, yes, sir. And I don't say yes, sir, to him. I say yes, sir, to God. We're here all to serve God. See, I'm not as good as Richard. I want to know where that edge is. You know what I'm saying? He makes me nervous. I always think he's going to fall, but amen, he does it. Amen. Praise God for him. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. One day we will all stand before the Almighty. And God will not simply look at you and talk to you about the things you've done. He's going to talk to you about the things that you thought. He's going to talk to you about the things you felt. He wants to know, why are you a disciple? This is an appropriate question. We need to ask ourselves this, in my opinion, several times a day. In Matthew 5:22, it says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. What is Jesus teaching here? He's teaching, don't sweat what man can do to you. But be concerned about what my Father's judgment will be on you one day. You know, anger comes from the heart. If you in your heart or through your mouth call somebody a fool, the Bible clearly says you are in danger of the fire of hell. See, these people right here were very religious. They were concerned about the Sanhedrin. They were concerned that they were going to be shunned or for being corrected by them. God says, you know what? Don't sweat them. Don't do this for them. Do this for me. Because I have power over you that man doesn't have. Do you know what Raca means? It means to be vain, empty, and worthless. This is the only time in Matthew 22 where the word is used. The Jews use this word as a word of contempt. Where's your heart this morning as far as feeling contempt for others? Jesus is addressing a heart issue, and he wants the Jews to check their hearts. Look over in John 8. Look over in John 8. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and if I've ever studied the Bible with you, or if you've been in a Bible study, you know I say this scripture about twice during every study. And with much reason. You know, we have to know, what is a disciple? If we're asking ourselves, why am I a disciple? We need to know what the definition is. You know, so many times as disciples, we think we know what it is. And I hope that's true. But sometimes we need a refresher course, amen? Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You know, if we think that we know where we're at all the time, that's when you fall. You know, when we study the Bible, people, let me tell you, I love studying the Bible, people, because it's a refresher for me. I love sitting down with someone that doesn't know God or knows God somewhat. But when I talk to them about what a disciple is, it helps me to reaffirm my decision and my commitments. Jesus defines being a disciple in the scripture, John 8, 31 and 32. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. There are conditions. There are steps to becoming a disciple. Notice I keep on saying becoming. No one's born a disciple. Our little children in the room, our preteens and some of our teens, they're not disciples until they make the commitment themselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Adults in here who have not committed to that Jesus is Lord, you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I don't say this to hurt you. I say this to keep it real. Amen? If nothing else that Jesus teaches me is we need to keep it real to be able to help people in our lives. If we sugarcoat stuff, you don't love people. Because what's going to happen on the last day? When you're going on the fast track and they're also going on a different fast track. What are we going to be able to say when we look at people dead in the eye and they say, you knew better. You knew my life. Why didn't you say something? I don't want that to be me. In Luke 9, 23 through 25, again, if you're taking notes, please take note. Then he said to them all, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? You know, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not a thing of glamour. There's no paparazzis waiting for us as we leave church today. Sorry to tell you. You know, they might take your picture for the, the directory or something like that, but that's as far as it goes. Being a disciple is not about glamour. It's about carrying a cross, a rugged piece of wood that leads to your death. You ever think that through? You know, as Jade becomes a disciple today, that's exactly what she's signing up for. She's not signing up for a place of high position, at least in a worldly sense of view. When God looks down and she's baptized today, God is going to have a huge smile on his face. Jesus is going to have that satisfaction, like he needed it, but he's going to have that satisfaction as what I did caused an effect on that earth. And she will be a daughter of Jesus Christ today. Guys, that needs to fire us straight up. There are several people in the room that I know of that are in the process of becoming disciples right now. I say keep going. And it's not about what I say or disciples say. Do this for God. He says if you would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. If you want to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for God, you'll gain it. Why am I a disciple? We need to ask ourselves this question all the time. The world makes it a very fuzzy scenario. You hear people at your jobs talking about being Christians. And then in the next breath, they're cussing somebody out. We got to be careful that we're not doing the same thing. Because remember, it's a heart issue. Just because it don't come out the mouth doesn't mean it's not going on in the heart. We can't be so quick to be calling people non-Christians who act like that, and we who claim to know Christ have things going on in our heart that are not dealt with. God, Jesus keeps it real. He wants the realness. He does not want a relationship with us that is fake or phony. You know, it's so amazing, you know, the primaries are going on, and, man, trust me, don't come to me talking about politics. I don't know where to vote, who to vote, and what to do. Because it's not my arena, but I need to become informed because I am a U.S. citizen. But besides politics, what do the politicians talk about? Stuff you want to hear. Why? So that you'll come and vote for them. See, they can't all say the same thing because if they do, we'll be undecided. But most of us are decided based on their views. You know, a lot of politicians make it easy to come to them. You know, if you like ice cream, it'll be ice cream socials every Sunday. You like chocolate, I'll make sure I have it for you. You like Rocky, Raspberry, Roadie, whatever, he'll make it for you. He's going to do whatever it takes to get your vote. Was Jesus like that? Nope. Actually, quite the opposite. Jesus never forced anyone to be his disciple. He actually doesn't want us to be his disciple if we don't want to be. That's pretty strong. There's several scriptures that say, if you don't do this, you cannot be a disciple. It's not that you'll be a junior disciple or you won't be a very good one. You can't be one. I don't accept you. How does that hit you? Man, I hope that hits you right between the eyes. Because we all need to make sure that we ain't being Jesus no matter the cost. You know, I came up with a list of several people that Jesus interacted with. And he challenged them about their discipleship. Again, take note, and you can study these things on your own. But I looked at it, and I saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were disciples before they were disciples. You know what I'm saying? They were the first called. How challenging could that have been? I mean, think about it when you're in class. Most of the time, you don't want to be the one with your hand raised first because you don't want to look crazy. You don't want to say something where everybody's going to point to you and say, he dumb or she's dumb. Imagine Jesus comes to you, the first ones, and says, come follow me. He's like, where's the rest of them? Where are the rest of your guys? You're them right now. That's challenging. How does that affect you? It should affect you in your workplace. Because for many of you, you're the only one that's there. John the Baptist. He lost his head being a disciple. That's in Mark 1 and also Mark 1 for Simon and Andrew. It said he had to become less so that Jesus could be more so he could fulfill the mission. Is the mission more important to you than you? Or are you more important than the mission? As we serve in the church, it's not about us. It's not about Richard. It's not about the elders. It's not about the Bible talk leaders. It's about all of us as a unit. We comprise the body of Christ. Without the least of us, we are incomplete. We are lacking. We are weakened. Do you look at your weak brother and sister right now and feel that way? Or are you frustrated with them? Yo, that's real. We all feel frustration from time to time. But with that feeling, do you repent? Do you fight through those feelings and say, you know what? I have been the weakest at times. I have been that brother or sister, and thank God for the grace of God around me. The rich young ruler. It's hard to be the anything. He was the one. He was the rich young ruler for the rest of eternity. That's what that man was going to be called. That's challenging right there. In Mark 10, Jesus challenged him about his giving and about his accumulation and holding on to earthly possessions. Where you at with that this morning? Just because you ain't got a lot doesn't mean you don't hoard what you have. Me and my wife were going through financial peace. And, you know, at first I was like, I ain't got no money. What am I going to, you know, what are we going to manage? But you know what? There's a reason I ain't got no money. Absolutely. My wife's the saver. I'm the spender. Thomas can attest to all this. We have witnesses. You know, there's a nerd in the group, and then there's a cool guy. I'm the cool guy. But I'm the cool broke guy. My wife is the nerd with security. We need to find each other in the middle, amen? You know, God is a God of finance. Don't think that God isn't about your money. How can I preach on money if my money is not right? So that's one of the reasons I took this class. Kicking and screaming all the way there. I'm just being real. Can I confess? I'm just being real. But guess what? I'm loving it. I'm learning. And I'm seeing, boy, if I don't take care of business, I'm going to be eating Alpo three ways, you know, when I get older. You know, I am a chef. I like to cook. But that's not one of my ingredients. You know what I'm saying? Not one I want to really do. All right. Let's think about in John 6. Where Jesus challenged the whole crowd and told them to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Talk about challenging. Imagine if Jesus came and says, here, have a bite. Drink my blood. That's being challenged to the core. Nicodemus, the original creeper. Nicodemus was a creeper. He didn't come to Jesus in the light of day. Now, later on, we see in the scriptures that he did that. He actually, you know, came out and anointed Jesus' body. He couldn't do that in secret. So he kind of outed himself as a disciple. Amen? You know, there's a time when all disciples need to be outed. We need to come out the darkness and say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I want everyone to know. How are people going to know Jesus if you don't tell them? Who is sent but you? I'm learning that as well, guys. As a man of Christ, I need to be sharing it wherever I go. Yesterday, me and my kids, I took them out to get some pizza, and I started having a conversation with the guy that was serving us. God works through all things, because as we're finished, he's coming up clearing tables. And I had a great conversation. I'm just checking to see if he's here. Because I not only shared my faith, but I invited him to church as well. It is a different thing to do. Don't think by inviting someone to church you've shared your faith with them. That is inviting them to a service. I'm talking about when you share your faith, you talk about Jesus. The word of Jesus comes out your mouth and, man, explosions happen. There's going to be some reaction in that person. They're going to be like, ooh, what you talking about? Or they're going to be like, I need some of that. Because right now they see Jesus as a that instead of as a him, as of a relationship. Where is that with you? Is your relationship with God solid this morning? Do you see it as a relationship? I was sharing with Audie this morning how my prayer life has been transformed lately. How I've been going to God with every feeling that I feel. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether I bring it right or if I bring it wrong. Whether I'm on my knees or I'm walking in the streets. Whether I'm having a conversation with somebody or if I'm by myself. I need to talk to Jesus, and even though he can see through me, he needs to hear it from my lips. He needs to have that relationship where he's like, that's my boy. He's coming to daddy. Sit on daddy's lap. I got something to tell you. Isn't it awesome when our dads bring us that close? When our fathers, the man that we look to become a man, or for girls to get that acceptance of what it is to be a girl or to be a young lady. I love my children. We ain't going to go there. But God loves us in that way. Nicodemus was challenged about being a teacher of God, yet he could not see God sitting in front of him. Guys, we as disciples are teachers of the Bible. We are the ones that bring Christ to the nations. Do we see Jesus standing in front of us? It's about a relationship, guys. It's not about a program. Zacchaeus in Luke 19. Jesus challenged him with his very presence. I love the middle school ministry. I got to say it. I had an opportunity today and Thursday to teach their class. And Mr. Todd went and taught the teens. And I love my teens too. But it was so exciting to hear them. And we talked about Zacchaeus. And we talked about the presence of Jesus igniting change in our lives. And watching their young faces get it. Being hungry. I can name names, but I don't want to give them big heads. But that class as a whole is amazing. I can't wait to see what the teens and the preteens do with this church. Campus, be careful, they're coming. Fred, get ready. You got some firecrackers coming. And they're going to change this world for Jesus. But because of the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus changed. He gave up half his money willingly. And then the rest that he had, he gave people four times more than he took from them. Mary and Martha. Jesus challenged their faith when it came to saving the life of their brother. That's in John 11. Have you ever prayed something really serious and God's answer was no? Imagine praying, sending for Jesus physically and him not showing. Remember that reaction when he came? Like, if you had come, this wouldn't have happened. Think about Lazarus himself. Same in John 11. He was waiting for Jesus to come. He was friends with Jesus. He expected the hookup. He thought, oh, Jesus got me. I'm good. I'll be fine. Then he died. Imagine how he was feeling right before he died. He abandoned me. Where is he at? I put my faith in him and I'm dead now. I don't know what he thought then, but right as he coughed his last, where was his heart? That's challenging. Peter in John 21, Jesus challenged him to return after disowning him and challenged him to take care of his sheep. Y'all, that's not just the church. That's everybody in this world. Now, some have been turned into goats by our own decisions. And we are no longer the sheep because we do not want to listen to our shepherd's voice. But Peter was challenged. Paul. Man, Paul got it good, didn't he? He's riding around minding his own business. Bam! Why are you persecuting me? Imagine if you heard that audible voice today. Imagine as you were walking, all of a sudden you heard Jesus' voice. And you couldn't deny it was him. Paul didn't deny it. He said, Lord. Lord, he knew who Jesus was. He didn't just challenge Paul's actions. He challenged his heart. You and me. Now, we're not in the scriptures, but the scriptures speak directly to us to challenge, why am I a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to serve? To serve means to be of use. Are you of use to the Creator? Do you enjoy that? Is that what you enjoy being? I think about Craig in the singles ministry. And many of our singles, I could be honest with you, but I'll call him out. That man is a servant of God. That man is everywhere. He run past you in the hall. He might not say hi to you because he's running to do the next thing. I appreciate brothers like him. And man, I could go through a list. We got a church of people that just love to serve. And I'm looking at people's faces and I'm like, Lord, don't strike me down for not calling on them. But we'd be here all day. But isn't that what the church is supposed to be like? It's supposed to be full of servants. We are not supposed to be waiting at the table with our knife and fork in our hands, banging away like, you know, some middle schoolers in school would be waiting for food. Love you guys. We need to be the ones with the plate of food in our hands, giving it away. Even if it's our own plate. Even if it's our last plate, God wants you to give it away. Let me ask you guys, are you guys tired sometimes coming to church? Of course you are, don't lie. Don't cause condemnation on yourself. We're all tired. I woke up this morning tired. I don't feel tired now. Why? Because this is invigorating. Being amongst so many believers, with us having that desire, it's like game time, man. And this is the respite from the rest of the week. This is when we enjoy the fellowship and we get encouraged. Ain't that a kingdom word? Ain't any kidding word, but isn't. Encourage the kingdom word. That and awesome, you know, they get worn out in our church. But encourage is a good thing. It's to give courage. Are you encouraging to your brothers and sisters this morning? Do you encourage others with your service and with your heart and not simply with your words? You know, we could say a whole bunch of stuff. And then when we leave the fellowship, start creeping. Jesus don't want creeper disciples. He wants us to be fully invested and out in the public. If I didn't speak to that young man at that pizza shop, he wouldn't have known that there's a God in Gwinnett County that wants him. Now, I trust that God will use more than me. I'm not that prideful. But I know I'm the one he sent that day, and I was obedient. You know, there's been plenty of times when I have not been obedient to that call, but I'm repenting. And guess what repentance brings? Refreshments. Yeah. After I repented, I talked to him. I walked out with a step, boy. I was like, I got giddy. I got happy. I was like, yes, who's next? Who's next? When I was in the funeral, I was sharing my faith. That room was full of, he was a young man. He had a lot of young friends. And now I was appropriate. I made sure, you know, I didn't preach like this. But I spoke the word of God very clearly. I pray that that seed germinates and they become disciples of Jesus. Look over in Malachi 3. You guys with me? Amen. Malachi 3. We're going to go Old Testament on y'all now. That's for you. That's for those of you that just said, where's Malachi? Not this Malachi over here. Malachi 3, starting in verse 13. When you're there, say amen. 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 You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who fear the Lord talk with one another, and the Lord listened and heard. a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who serve. Come on. If this doesn't answer the question and put, you know, this is amazing. When I was going through my own stuff, when I was thinking, man, God, this is hard. Why do I do this? I want to know why I do this so that I can keep on doing it. And sometimes we don't know the why in the moment and right away. And we got to be faithful and keep on doing it until God answers us. But I promise you, if you beg God for the answer, he'll give it to you. The day that I sought this out, I always tell y'all, Google is your friend. I literally put in there, why serve God? And this scripture came up. It ain't rocket science, y'all. I don't got the minister's version of the Bible. I got the same internet and Bible you have. The difference might be is that I'm seeking. The difference might be that I'm honest where I'm at. I pray this morning that you will get honest wherever you're at. If you're doing awesome, keep doing awesome. If you're not, open your mouth first to God. Don't bring your stuff to man first, but bring your stuff to man. It's commanded. It's a benefit of the kingdom. There are two groups of people in this scripture. From verses 13 to 15, he's talking about people who spoke against God and questioned the benefits of serving him. They noted that the arrogant are blessed. Do you ever feel that way? That evildoers prosper. I'm broke, but I give my contribution. I'm just scraping along, but these evildoers are out there with abundance. Are these thoughts ever going through your mind? That people who challenge God escape his punishments. Do we ever look and see the crimes of this world and say, wow, why doesn't God just come in and just wipe these people off the face of the planets? Why does God allow them to exist? They serve a purpose. And some of those people are in this room right now. And some of those people have repented and are forgiven of God. Some of those people are the most fired up disciples that I've ever met. Some of those people are me. Some of those people are you. And the day we forget that, we forget why we serve God. Do you know God considers you a treasured possession? Oh, try to not smile if you can. Ooh! You know, I love it when my wife gives me affirmation and tells me how much she loves me. But when I know the Almighty thinks I'm a treasured, as a man, I don't hear that term a lot. I'm a treasured possession. God says in verse 17, they will be mine. Do you want to be God's treasured possession this morning? It says, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, which I really see as being judgment day, it says, I will spare them. I need to be spared. My righteousness does nothing for my salvation. It's a byproduct of. It says, I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. Those who serve him will receive compassion. You need compassion. Your righteous deeds are not going to get the doors open for you, y'all. In verse 18, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't. Guys, there's a clear distinction of those who serve God and those who don't. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, it says, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of but for you to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with your God with all your heart, and with all your soul. In John 12, 26, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. my Father will honor those who serve me. I hope that pretty much answers the question of why we serve God. This has not been an attempt to give you an exhaustive list. This is the tip of the tip of the iceberg. I could sit here and preach for the rest of the year on why I serve God. From my past, from my present, and I know what he's going to do with my future. There are so many reasons why we need to serve God. But I challenge you today in this. This week, each and every person in this auditorium, I pray that you will make a decision to take some time and ask yourself the question, why am I a disciple of Jesus? If you're not a disciple of Jesus, ask the question to yourself, why should I be a disciple? Now, that's going to take some of us asking some questions. Some of us are going to be able to just go off on our own and really beg of God and ask of God, and that'll be enough. I'll leave that up to you. But I'm going to close off in this scripture in Joshua 24, verse 15. You could turn there. Joshua 24, starting in verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are serving. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I pray that this study, that this time together, can help you to see the reasons why you're a disciple, why you serve God, and why God considers us a treasured possession. I pray that you will take hold of that if you're visiting with us for the first time or the 100th time. I pray that you will get together with whoever you need to get together with. Study the Bible, understand who this God is who considers you a treasured possession. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead, Albert.
Let's pray. Dear God, you are a great and glorious God. You are a forgiving God. You are a merciful God. And we thank you today for all the mercy and grace that you've given us. God, we thank you for John, for just helping him to bring the word powerfully today. And I pray that today we can all just take something from this, that we will go out and we will open our mouths, that we will show why we are your disciples, God, that we will bring the world to you, as you have commanded us so many times in your Bible. God, we just pray for all the people who are studying, God. We pray for Jade, who is getting baptized today, God, that she will be a great disciple for your kingdom. God, we just thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. We praise things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.